This is the God that Jesus talked about in John 5:28 when he says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who do good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." In other words, you're either going to heaven or hell. You're going to come out of that grave and you're going to go somewhere. It's either to heaven or to hell. In fact, God showed the Apostle John what it was going to be like on that day. He gave him a vision of the future and said, "Do you want to, you know what it's going to be at the end? Here it is." And this is what John wrote down in Revelation 20:11. He said, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." Literally, earth and heaven fled from the face of God. And you were going to stand and look in that face one day. "And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each according to his works. Then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I will not stand before you and intimate in any way, shape, or form that this is not of extreme critical importance, because there is coming a day when you and I will die, unless the Lord raptures us out of here. You're going to die and you're going to stand before God. You will either go into the glory of His presence or you will be thrust and cast into the lake of fire. If your name isn't in the book, you're out of here. That's serious. That's why this next thing is so amazing. Because number three, He's not only the Creator, He's not only the Judge, He is the Father. He is the Father. Christianity is the only major religion where God can be intimately known as the Father. Did you realize that? The only religion, the only major religion where you can know God intimately as the Father. Islam does not worship God as the Father. You say Islam, you say, "Oh God, my Father," in a mosque, they'll kill you. That's blasphemy to a Muslim. I'm serious. They say it themselves. They don't try to hide the fact. They're like, "God is not your Father. He is your Creator. He is your Judge. But He is so transcendent. He can never be a Father to man." They think that's blasphemous. Buddhism does not see God as a Father. You go to in a Buddhist, whatever they call the thing, temple, and you start praying to God, "Our Father," they're going to look at you strange. Because to them, God is not even a personal being. He doesn't even have a personality. He is a force, the pervading force of the universe that gives life to everything, and we are actually a part of it. And when we reach godhood and nirvana, we're going to vaporize into the bliss of nothingness. Yeah, sounds exciting. That's what I want to live for, nothing. It almost sounds like a Seinfeld episode. It's all about nothing. In Buddhism, God is not a Father. Judaism, even though we accept the Old Testament scriptures, they basically see Him primarily as the Father of the nation of Israel. He's in a sort of general sense a Father to man who's created, but He is portrayed as the Father of Israel as a nation. And a lot of Eastern religions might say, well, He's a Father in a very general sense. I mean, He created everybody, so I guess in that sense He is. But Christianity teaches that this amazing, transcendent, holy God, this pure, holy, absolutely righteous God, desires to have an intimate, loving, warm, affectionate relationship, a fatherly relationship with sinful human beings who rebel against Him day and night. Isn't that amazing? that God would want to be a father to us, to me. After all the times that I've said, no, God, I know you said that, but I'm going to do this instead. Or he said, don't do that. And I said, well, actually, you know, I can't help but do that, man. I'm going to do that several times. I'll be doing that today, tomorrow, and next week too. In spite of all our rebellion, in spite of all the absence of time that we spend with him and the way we run from him as hard as we can, this amazing God who has every right to judge us and condemns us passionately desires that we would spend eternity with him in a loving, intimate, fatherly relationship. How incredible is that? Isn't it breathtaking that even though the wages of sin is eternal death in hell, this God says to us, that he so loved the world. God so loved the world. Finish it with me. That he gave his only begotten Son. You've heard that before. Praise God. John 1:11. Jesus came to his own and his own didn't receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Laura, would you stand up with Paul for just a second? Actually, could you let Matt hold him for just a second? Matt, would you want to bring Paul up here for just a second? You know, we hear this stuff so much. I mean, we live this stuff and breathe this stuff and it's so, you know, pressed into us that sometimes it's hard to be moved by it anymore. Have you ever seen this little kid look into this guy's face? Yeah. Hey, buddy, I love you. Yeah, I love you, buddy. Have you ever seen this guy look into this guy's face? Can you read what's all over their faces when they look in each other's eyes? It is the most obvious thing. It just glows. Do you know that that's the kind of relationship that God wants to have with you? That when you look in his eyes, you will not be filled with dread or terror. That you will be captivated by the sight and that he will look into your eyes with the same infinite affection and tenderness and longing. Do you know that God rejoices over you with singing? That he wants to look in your face at the end of your days and welcome you into his arms and tell you how thrilled, with how much anticipation he has longed for this day when he can bring you into glory, into paradise with him and fully embrace you the way Matt is holding his son right now. And he wants to embrace you like that and call you his child and love on you and pour out his mercy and love and tenderness towards you. That's what God wants to do with you. And I know we sometimes lose sight of the fact. But if this will help us to get a fresh perspective on that truth, this is the God that we proclaim. This is not the God of the Hindus who makes you carve a statue and put it on a block with wheels and then tie it to some hooks and put the hooks in your flesh so you can drag it around the city. Yeah, man, that's what I'm talking about, Paul. That's not that kind of God who demands that you abuse yourself in order to appease him. This is the God who comes to you and suffers on your behalf. So that you can go free, so that you can be free to come into his home and live forever with him. This is the God. And I'm sorry, President Bush, I like you, buddy, but no, this is not the God that all of the world worships. This is the God that we need to proclaim to them. This is the Father that they long to have. And there is a multitude of folks out there who don't know that Father, who are groping around with emptiness and despair, and some of them, it's tragic, and many will not make it. But who's going to tell them if we don't? We are the ones God has called. We have a precious message. We have a priceless, beautiful truth, this treasure called the gospel that can set people free and have them adopted into the loving arms of a heavenly Father. Yeah, buddy. That's right, Paul. Praise God. Thank you, man. Thank you, Matt. They have never seen their own need for God. They've never seen their sin in the light of God's holiness. And they've never known that the same God who has every right to cast them into destruction longs to redeem them and make them His own. And He calls us this Father's Day to take that gospel to all the orphans out there who desperately need a heavenly Father whom God would love to embrace into His arms on that final day. That's what God has called us to do. So if I could do anything today on this Father's Day, I want to challenge you guys to get a fresh vision of what God has called us to do, to take this gospel out there so that God's family can grow and grow and grow and grow, and multitudes more can come into His kingdom and be adopted and loved by Him forever and ever. And as we go out and take this gospel out there, I would encourage you to pray, first of all, for them. Whoever it is that God has put on your heart that does not know Him, I would encourage you, do not let God beat that door down until the day comes when they finally receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. Storm the gates of heaven for them. And while we're doing that, let's get a fresh vision to go out and share this gospel with the world so that they can know Him the way that we know Him. Some may turn away and mock us like they did to Paul that day. Some may say, well, I got to think about it. You know, come back next year and we'll talk again. But there are others who will believe and will go on to follow Christ. And their souls are worth it. Their souls are worth whatever we have to do to get the message to them. And whatever time we have to put in to pray. Amen? Praise God. Father, I just want to pray, Lord, don't let us live our lives without purpose, God. Don't let us be seduced by all the things that distract us in this world. Father, I pray You would set our hearts on fire, so that all the world may know You and Your Son, Jesus Christ, God. Please, please change us, God. Covenant now. And if you're sitting here praying with me and this is the cry of your heart, with every eye closed, just slip your hand up to God and say, God, help me. Let me be used by You so that others can know You. I'm raising my hand to You, God, right now. Don't let my life go by in vanity. God, use me. Use me. Use me. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Lord, I know You see these hands. This is just between us and You. This is between me and You, God. I'm raising it to You, so that You can see and that You will help me lay hold of what You have for me in this life. If you've never taken the opportunity to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior so that you can be embraced by your Father in heaven on that day, if you would like to pray to receive Him in the next couple of seconds right now, if you want to slip up your hand, I'll pray with you right now also. I would be delighted to do that. If you've never taken the opportunity and you want to pray, let's do that now. Praise God. Lord, we love You. We love You. We worship You, God. We thank You. What an amazing God You are. Thank You that You have rescued us and brought us home to You, Lord. We love You, God. We thank You in Jesus' name. Praise God.